Welcome to Museum Archipelago. I'm Ian Elsner. Museum Archipelago guides you through the rocky landscape of museums. Each episode is rarely longer than 15 minutes. So let's get started. I've spent most of my career building interactive exhibits for museums. These are all visitor-facing, touchscreens for pulling up information or playing games based on the science content, projection walls for displaying moving infographics, and digital signage for rotating through ticket prices or special events.
Well, I think most computer interactives in museums are pretty bad. I don't think that's because they were necessarily bad when they were first installed, but major exhibitions can last for 10, 15, 50 years. And it's often quite difficult to go back and retrofit and improve something like technology as time goes on.
This is Dr. Morgan Renberg, Vice President of Exhibits and Experiences at the Adventure Science Center in Nashville. Renberg offers that long-term maintenance is the reason why most computer interactives in museums are pretty bad, and that is kindly letting us programmers off the hook for the other reasons why computer interactives can be bad. But I agree with him. When I build an interactive for a museum, I'm optimizing for opening day and generally leave it up to the museum to maintain it for years after.
Hello, my name is Dr. Morgan Renberg, and I'm the Vice President of Exhibits and Experiences at the Adventure Science Center in Nashville. I actually started my journey in science. I did my PhD work in astronomy, and I worked as part of NASA's Cassini mission, which studied Saturn for many years. And it got to a point where we sort of dramatically crashed the spacecraft into Saturn. And I realized at that point that I was going to need to find something else to do. And thinking back, I realized that I had been having more fun talking about the work that we were doing than actually doing it. So I started to look and see how I could turn that into a career. And I ended up in Texas at the Fort Worth Museum of Science and History. Spent 5 lovely years there, including the time during the pandemic. And as the world started coming back, I felt like it was time for a change of scenery and made the switch to Nashville. And I've been thrilled to be here at the Science Center for just under 2 years now. Like many science museums, we focus on families with young kids, full of hands-on exhibits exploring all the areas of STEM, and we serve the public, we do field trips, we run summer camps, all the things that science museums do, but we do it with a team that's maybe a little bit smaller than you would have at some of the big museums in cities like New York or San Francisco or Chicago.
And that team size becomes relevant to the long-term maintenance of computer interactives.
Here in Nashville, we have touchscreens that we installed in 2008 that still do everything that they did then, but what the world around them has done since 2008 has changed a lot. And so while the experience is the same as it always was, the expectations of visitors coming in are quite a bit different.
On the back end, most of the computers running in museum galleries are general purpose computers, normal PCs running Linux or Windows. Similarly, the interactive exhibit software running on them are often built using game development engines like Adobe Flash or Unity. There are advantages and disadvantages to building on top of these platforms. On the one hand, museums get to benefit from the rapid iteration of consumer technology. On the other hand, these tools were not designed for the museum environment. So there are all sorts of situations where you end up working at cross purposes with your tools. A good example, any general purpose computing environment needs to have an easy way, in fact, many easy ways, for a user to close an app. However, in a museum's touchscreen setup, you wouldn't want visitors to be able to close the exhibits, so you have to invent ways to prevent that. And every time Windows updates, you might have to do it all over again in a different way. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a museum server room satisfied with a job well done, only to notice that a smart kid on the gallery floor has figured out how to close my interactive software and has pulled up a game of solitaire. And let me tell you, solitaire is the best case scenario. If the computer is connected to the internet, things can get a lot worse.
I think a lot of us who work in medium or larger museums forget that by number, the vast majority of museums in this country or anywhere in the world have staffs of one or two or three and have budgets measured in thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars. Those places are never going to be able to afford the sorts of bespoke custom software that you might see at Boston Museum of Science. They're just never going to have that. But they shouldn't be left in the 20th century of all we've learned about the value of interactivity in museums.
So while working at the Fort Worth Museum of Science and History during the COVID pandemic, Renberg started looking for a solution.
As I was looking at this big idea of what could be a piece of software that would solve all my problems, I started looking at that and subdividing those problems. And one category of problem was wanting to have new touch-sensitive visitor-facing things. And I didn't have the money during the pandemic to hire a vendor to redo all the things everywhere. The second piece of it was, how can I, with greatly reduced exhibit technician staff, manage all of these things with the least amount of effort? Because I know if I have one tech who needs to cover the whole building, they can't spend a bunch of time debugging a thing after a visitor has smashed the screen 50,000 times and frozen the computer. Those two parallel ideas have lent themselves to the structure of Constellation.
Constellation was the name of the free and open source exhibit control software that Renberg developed. Today, he calls it Exhibitera, but you still might catch him referring to it by its old name. And those two parallel ideas have turned into a suite of tools that a museum can use to build their own interactive exhibit software and the control server, which is how museums can control the apps within the exhibit.
All that guest-facing stuff can use that all on its own. You basically install it on a computer, start configuring what you want your content to be, and then you can just set your computer to boot that every time the computer boots.
So instead of building interactive exhibits using engines designed for game development, museums can build interactive exhibits using tools designed with the museum's needs in mind. Exhibitera has several common exhibit types built into it, like an info station, a media browser, and a timeline.
One of the big focuses has been that it shouldn't just be technical people who can produce these things. And so a big focus has been creating ways for people to use apps they already know to create apps that are guest-facing. For example, with our timeline application, the way you make a timeline is you just open up Excel and you make a spreadsheet. You make a column of dates, you make a column of event names, you make a column of file names for a picture, and then Constellation just ingests that and makes this beautiful touchscreen timeline. A classroom teacher should be able to create a museum exhibit. An educator we have here on staff should be able to have an idea and create at least a prototype, if not a complete exhibit, just using Word and Excel and those sorts of things. And they get turned into these beautiful guest-facing experiences that, at first glance, a visitor is not going to know the difference between that and something that a science center might have paid $100,000 for.
Too often, when building bespoke custom interactive media, accessibility is something that gets tacked on at the end. But for museums using Exhibitera, accessibility features are automatically built in.
One of the things I'm really proud about is we've built in just a tremendous amount of accessibility at the core. So any one of the apps that uses language allows you to set up your language in an arbitrary number of languages. So it's not just English. You can say, I want English and Spanish and Arabic and Chinese and German. And if that's your audience, it'll support all of those simultaneously and provides a nice little dropdown to switch languages. And then it also provides variable text size support by default in those applications. And those are things that I think we all agree are key aspects of professional practice to make our exhibitions as accessible as possible. It shouldn't be like a thing you have to remember to add on when you're building something. It should just be built in at the core. And that's what we've tried to do with Constellation. But then there's this thing called Constellation Control Server. And the idea here is, let's have a central server that communicates with all of the other Constellation components in the exhibit and can help me remotely diagnose and remotely repair these things. So if one of those exhibit pieces has stopped checking in, I can see that on my dashboard, and I can easily press a button from my desk to reboot that computer. Because maybe the app is still running, but I got a call in from somebody in guest services saying a kid's playing solitaire on the computer.
Without this software, a smaller museum might have a staff member walk around every morning to turn on each computer one by one.
When I come in the morning, the building basically just turns itself on in the morning and shuts itself down at the end of the day. And Constellation provides this really powerful scheduling system that allows you to set these schedules that vary day to day. So every Monday, you know, we close at 3, and every Saturday we close at 5, and so forth.
Exhibitera was built to support as many devices as possible, from touchscreens from 2008 to Android tablets and mini PCs. There was never any doubt for Renberg that he would release the system as open source for free. The problems that Renberg faced mirrors the problems faced at many other museums.
My background, having come from the world of science, was just really informed by the culture, this wonderful cultural open source that exists in science. When I was working on studying Saturn and analyzing data, the code that I was using to do that had legacies of decades. I could go back and look at the change log and see NASA engineers who were working on this same code in the 1980s. And that's what allowed me, as a 20-something kid starting out in science, to do these things that otherwise I would have had to reinvent from scratch. And I just got such an appreciation for the value of having something supported by the community as a way of opening more doors to that community. If we all agree, and I think most people would, that having digital elements in installed exhibitions is just like a standard professional practice, then you shouldn't have to fork over tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what is standard professional practice. It still might be the right thing to do to hire a third-party company, and I've had great experiences working with those companies before, but it shouldn't be the only option.
Today, Exhibitera is being used in Fort Worth and in Nashville and in several other museums, but anyone can use it. I set up a little exhibit in my office on an old PC and marveled at how many museum-specific features are just built in.
I really think long-term, the biggest opportunity is to bring this level of digital interactivity to places that haven't been able to afford it. And so I'm excited about this podcast because I think there is just this huge sea of places that want to be able to be the modern museums they are in thought, also in physicality, and so far just haven't had a good way to connect with those folks. Because I think big museums, this will always be at best one thing in the play of many solutions that they've integrated together. But for a lot of smaller places, I think there's an opportunity for Constellation to really become a standard for the way in which they are engaging digitally with their audience inside the building.
This has been Museum Archipelago. I have two quick announcements about Club Archipelago, our bonus podcast. I've been having a lot of fun making Club Archipelago, which is kind of a mirror image of Museum Archipelago. While the main show examines the landscape of real museums, Club Archipelago is the podcast that examines museums through the lens of popular culture, like movies and video games. We've built up quite the collection of episodes, from the Night at the Museum series to Toy Story 2, and honestly, I think more people should listen. So I've just added a 7-day free trial to the Patreon. You can sign up, listen to as many episodes as you can, and cancel before the trial is up, completely absolved of any guilt. Of course, you're very welcome to hang around too. To get access to the free trial, just go to jointhemuseum.club. And finally, I'm discontinuing the sticker rewards of the Club Archipelago membership. It's just too much of a logistical challenge to ship things from Bulgaria, and I want to focus all my time on the much more scalable podcast production. But if you're interested, regardless of whether you're a club member or not, just send me an email and I'll let you know where the closest museum is where I've left a pile of stickers for you to collect. For a full transcript of this episode, as well as show notes and links, visit museumarchipelago.com. Thanks for listening. And next time, bring a friend.